right here before your very eyes. I'm going to lay out the contrast between Hebrews 10 and Romans chapter 5. Don't try this at home, folks. Kids, need the adult supervision here for this. I'm a trained professional. You could be seriously injured. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender, and welcome to another edition of the Martin Zender Show. I know this is still called the Martin Zender Dan Sheridan Show. I've been thinking about changing that because Dan Sheridan hasn't been on lately, and he's doing his own excellent show. He's talking about things of consequence, Hebrews, and he's in Revelation talking about idolatry and things like that, and I'm doing Hebrews, about to do a whole series on Revelation. So, but I'm not putting it out of the arena of possibility here that Sheridan and I will once again team up. So anyway, we're still calling these a Martin Zender special. Thanks for being with me. I like doing this show. I like talking to you. The more of you I meet, and I have met a lot of you this year as this year winds to a close, it's so good to see you face to face because then I know who I'm talking to. Now, I'm in here in Clyde Lynn's bedroom slash my studio. And so the more people I meet and see, the more people I know are listening, and I feel connected to you. We're together on this. So many, we're just talking tonight. I'm kind of tired. It's late night, and we were having a great discussion on the front porch about this era. And we're really, we think that we're going to be standing at the dais and we're going to be in awe of these men of God that went before us, like Paul and Timothy and Titus and Stephen and all these guys. And yet, we are living in an era that would shock them. They would be amazed at how decadent this era is. And by decadence, I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about technological indifference. I'm talking about how isolated we've all become. I'm talking about the challenges of technology of this modern era. And I don't think many of the ancients would last long in this day and age. And there's much more to say on this. I believe, I'm convicted that there was much more liberty under the law of Moses than in the Christian religion or in this Christian society. Much more liberty, much more grace than the society we live in. Everything is so backward. That's a topic of its own. Didn't mean to bait you there and bail out of it, which I'm about to do. I'm about to bail out of that topic. But, we haven't seen anything, have we? And Paul had the advantage of seeing the resurrected Christ. So is it possible that Paul is going to be in awe of you and me? Let's face it, he had a direct revelation from Christ. He met with Jesus Christ, and yes, he suffered commensurately with his revelation, but we haven't seen anything. I haven't, had never heard a voice, never seen a vision, don't want to. I do want to, but I don't want to, go to the third heaven and have to have more thorns added to my flesh. I got enough already, thank you very much. So I'm just thinking that we take so for granted the faith, and that we're living in an era that is designed to kill us. Things were so slow back in Paul's day, and people had time to fellowship, to relax. The family structure was amazingly broad and wonderful, and things were covered back then. You had grandma and grandpa, great-grandma, great-grandpa living with you, and you had aunts and uncles and the extended family, and everybody had their specialty, and we have a taste of that here. In Winbur, but to have the support and to have everything you needed and to have the time to talk and to relax, really, we think that was a hard day. But no, this is the hard day. This is the hard day. And I think that they would look at the anomalies in our society and say, well, how did you survive? And my answer will be peanut M&Ms. And then I'll show the Apostle Paul peanut M&Ms, and he would look at it and squint his nose like, what is that? Well, that's what I used to survive, Paul. And he would say, yeah, I understand, but that's weird. What I'm saying is we have strange things to cover strange events and strange happenings. We write bad checks to cover bad checks, and in society, as John Lennon used to say, whatever gets you through the night. So don't sell short your faith, and don't think that the day could come where these great people of faith in the days of yore will look at us and be amazing at how we survive. Not to mention we're at the apex. Listen, we're at the apex of the apostasy. It just started in Paul's day. Yeah, he suffered, it was terrible, but we're at the apex of the apostasy. He says, men will wax worse and worse. Paul said that. And we're 2,000 years down the road in an era where men are going to wax worse and worse. And so these people are going to be in awe of us. You people survived. It's a miracle. And it is a miracle. So we help each other out. You know, we have peanut M&Ms. We have the scriptures. You have this show. We have books. We have Clyde Pilkington. We have Dan Sheridan. We have Steve Hill. We have wonderful men of God who are helping to get us through. And so here we go. For Hebrews 10:26, for at our sinning voluntarily, I read this yesterday, going to reiterate it, going to dive us into Romans 5 to give you the contrast. Don't want to hang you here on Romans, on Hebrews 10, because you might hang yourself if you hear this and think it applies to you. For at our sinning voluntarily, after obtaining the recognition of the truth, it is no longer leaving a sacrifice concerned with sins. Going to get into more detail on this soon. Maybe not today. But a certain fearful waiting for judging and a fiery jealousy about to be eating the hostile. Anyone repudiating Moses' law is dying without pity on the testimony of two or three witnesses of how much worse punishment are you supposing will he be counted worthy who tramples on the Son of God and deems the blood of the covenant by which he is hallowed, contaminating, and outrages the Spirit of grace? Outrages the Spirit of grace. I just read you 26 through 29, Hebrews chapter 10. Now, blessed contrast. You just heard that. Listen to this. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Being then justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God. Justified by faith, peace toward God. Contrast that with judging in fiery jealousy about to be eating the hostile. All right, here we go. Hebrews 10:27. Fearful waiting for judging and fiery jealousy about to be eating the hostile. Romans 5, being then justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have the access also by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we may be glorying in expectation of the glory of God. That's our expectation. Glorying in expectation of the glory of God. Contrast that with verse 27 of Hebrews 10. A certain fearful waiting for judging and fiery jealousy about to be eating the hostile. Verse 5 of Romans 5. Now expectation is not mortifying, seeing that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which is being given to us. Our expectation is not mortifying. It's not killing us. Contrast that. Anyone repudiating Moses' law is dying without pity. Dying without pity by repudiating Moses' law. At this point, I'm going to jump ahead to Romans 5, verse 20, which says this, law came in by the way that the offense should be increasing, yet where sin increases, grace super exceeds. Grace super exceeds. Now we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have the access also by faith into this grace in which we stand. Where grace increases, where sin increases, grace super exceeds. Doesn't sound like getting eaten. Doesn't sound like a fiery judging, does it? Doesn't sound like fiery indignation, fearful waiting for judging, and dying without pity. Contrast dying without pity in Hebrews chapter 10 to this. For hardly for the sake of a just man will anyone be dying, for the sake of a good man perhaps someone may even be daring to die. Yet God is commending this love of his to us, members of the body of Christ, seeing that while we are still sinners, Christ died for our sakes. While we are still sinners. Yet over in Hebrews, if you repudiate the law of Moses, you die without pity by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Yet if you trample on the Son of God and deem the blood of the covenant, if you deem that unworthy. You trample that, you outrage the spirit of grace, so what do you think is going to happen to you? In verse 31, fearful is it to be falling in the hands of the living God. Verse 31 of Hebrews 10, fearful is it to be falling into the hands of the living God. Romans 5, much rather than, verse 9, being justified now in his blood, we shall be saved from indignation through him. Saved from indignation. And yet we have a certain waiting for judgment, a fearful waiting for judging and fiery jealousy. Hebrews 10, saved from indignation through Christ, through his blood. If you're enemies of the blood in Hebrews 10, then you have repudiated, outraged the spirit of grace. Yet the blood in verse 9 of Romans 5 is the means of our justification, and it's the means by which we're saved from indignation. You repudiate the blood, you're delivered to indignation in Hebrews 10. Here we're saved from it. Talking about outraging the spirit of grace, at the end of verse 29 in Hebrews 10, outraging the spirit of grace. And Romans, again, Romans 5:20, law came in, by the way, that the offense should be increasing. Yet where sin increases, grace super exceeds. Grace super exceeds. Yet even as sin reigns in death, thus grace also should be reigning through righteousness for life aeonian. At this point, you have to be saying, those poor Hebrews. Yet it was their expectation. This is what they were raised in. And this is what they loved. They actually relished it. That's why it was so hard for them to grasp this. You think, well, if anybody has these two things to choose from, door number one, door number two, and you're actually opening the doors, not like let's make a deal where you had three doors, door number one, door number two, door number three, and you had to pick which door you wanted blind, the door behind which Carol Merrill is now standing, if you remember that show, let's make a deal. You now the doors are open, and you can see that behind door number one is a shiny new car, and behind door number two is an ox cart, you know, with a bunch of straw. Who's going to pick that over the shiny new car? And yet, if you're a farmer, if you've been raised in the country and you love it, you're probably going to pick the horse and the cart. But it was a joke on Let's Make a Deal. People saw that and they went, oh, ooh. They hated it and they picked a shiny new car. But there are many people, even today, that would pick There are many people today who would pick the horse cart over the car for whatever reason. So I'm telling you that I know people who would pick the law. They pick Hebrews. They love Hebrews. They would pick that over the verses I just read to you in Romans chapter 5. But because ideally, I hope you and I were raised in Romans chapter 5, not all of us were, but there's no way we can go back. We can go back to an era of law. As non-Israelites, we can't even go back to an era of law because we haven't had the law. So it's very easy for an Israelite and for a law-loving Christian and for a member of the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel, back to that series I did earlier within this Hebrew series. Many people still pine to accomplish things for God, to show God what they can do, and to present to him their own works, and that's part of that calling. But my gosh, folks, if you have never heard these two gospels compared, going to get into more detail here at the end of this week, I hope this has been even an introduction to some of you of the differences between the gospel of the circumcision and that of the uncircumcision. You cannot make those two passages I just read you fit together. You cannot. You will modify one to accommodate the other. You will water down one in order to glorify the other. I do not want you glorifying law and diminishing the effect of grace and the joy of living in a realm of grace. Don't want that to happen to you. So thus this exhortation, and there's more where this came from. We're going to look at more of the curse and more of the blessing. Thank you for being with me.